Good evening, New York. You just heard from the new afternoon show. And now, thank you for tuning in to The Rundown on WNYU 89.1 FM here in New York and online everywhere at WNYU.org. I'm your host, Aria Young. We have a relatively short episode today, so I'll just get right into it. A reporter at The Rundown, Adria Law, brought us a story this week about a summer spiritual program at NYU for the AAPI community called Healing and Belonging. But before that, I want to share with you some local news that you might find interesting. So first up, this is pretty relevant to NYU because it's located right in our neighborhood in the Greenwich Village. So Trader Joe's wine shop in Union Square abruptly closed last Thursday, August 11th. The shop had been in business for 15 years, and it was the only liquor store that Trader Joe's owned since New York state law prohibits corporations from owning or operating more than one liquor store. So the wine shop, when it was open, was known for cheap wines, and it was really popular, so many customers are very disappointed to find out that the store closed without any prior notice or even a clear reason, really. So now the windows and the doors of the place are taped by brown butcher papers, and there's a note on the doors that kind of provides an explanation, I guess. It says, "It is now time for us to explore another location that will allow us to optimize the potential of our one and only license to sell wine in the state of New York." So that is pretty vague. And you might be speculating now, you know, wouldn't they find a new location first before shutting down? Or, you know, were they forced to shut down? Was the rent too much, perhaps? To make it more confusing, the owner of the building, conveniently, is NYU. So NYU spokesperson John Beckman says that there's been no change in NYU's lease with Trader Joe's, and it actually has several more years to run. So the decision that Trader Joe's made to shut down the wine shop in Union Square is pretty much independently made, and they made that on their own. So that's really all the information that we know right now. I got this information from the Gothamist article titled "Trader Joe's Wine Shop in Union Square Abruptly Closes After 15 Years." So if you want to read more about it, the article is available on Gothamist.com. Next story I have is about the NYPD. It's actually a series of stories, I would say. And it makes me angry personally, but before I answer my opinions, I'll just share the stories first. So last Friday, NYPD operated a bust on the counterfeit goods market on Canal Street in Chinatown. If you live in New York, or if you live close to Chinatown, or you've been to Chinatown, you know that they sell a lot of counterfeit goods there. It's been there for decades, and people, kind of tourists, kind of come here for that, some people. And it's just kind of a landmark somehow of Chinatown and of New York, is that there's a lot of counterfeit goods. And so this last Friday, the NYPD seized fake bags, sneakers, watches, and sunglasses on Canal Street. All of them are reported to worth as much as $2 million. I don't know how they got that number, because they're too, I mean, it didn't really explain what that means. Like, are they counting, like, if those bags were real, were sold at the real price, they would be worth $2 million, or, like, at the market price that they're selling at, they're worth $2 million. So I'm not really clear on that. But the NYPD also arrested five people connected to the crackdown. And the operation was called Bag Guys, which I chuckled at the name. Very funny. But the operation is also a part of the city's Quality of Life initiative, which is what kind of makes me angry and I think is problematic about NYPD. So to give you some context, I want to talk about this initiative a little bit, the Quality of Life initiative. It was announced this March, I think. You may have noticed an increase of police presence in public spaces, you know, like the subway stations. Like, I see a lot of cops in the subway stations or street corners. And I personally have seen definitely like a significant increase in police presence, especially in the NYU area. Like, I've seen the police catching subway fare evasions and taking homeless people away, you know, in this area definitely more often this year than before. And this quality of life initiative is to, the purpose of it, you know, as the NYPD said, is to crack down offenses that, in their words, contribute to the crimes and disorder in the city. So this initiative is criticized by many New Yorkers as broken window policing. So what that means in criminology is that basically when there is a lot of broken windows in the city, there, you know, it kind of, it makes the city look chaotic and disorderly, and it means that there are more likely to be crimes because of these things. So basically, like, smaller offenses can inspire bigger or more violent crimes, and that's kind of the theory. And in my opinion, it's very problematic because the broken window policing disproportionately targets marginalized communities. It criminalizes the poor and the homeless. It just seems to me that there's a lot of things that NYPD needs to worry about before they prioritize fining people hundreds of dollars for skipping subway fare or, you know, selling fake bags on the street. Because I think at the end of the day, these offenses are so minor and nonviolent. And what it does really is just sending more people of color to jail. Because, you know, neighborhoods with the kind of disorder, so-called disorder, or metaphorically the so-called broken windows, are usually neighborhoods of people of color, like Chinatown, and neighborhoods that are, you know, socioeconomically disadvantaged. So yeah, so that's what I'm gonna say on the matter. Whether you think broken windows policing is effective or not, I'll leave that to you. And if you would like to know more about this, NBC New York has an article titled $2 million in counterfeit goods seized from Canal Street sellers in NYPD bust. So next, and finally, we have a story from Adria Luo, our reporter, about the Healing and Belonging Fellowship at NYU. It's offered by the NYU Global Spiritual Life Center this summer for students of Asian and Pacific Islander descent. So let's hear the story.
During the summer, NYU was holding an interfaith fellowship called Healing and Belonging, centering NYU's Asian community. Initialized by NYU Global Spiritual Life, this fellowship aims to promote healing and mutual understanding among AAPI students at NYU. Adriana DeFazio, the lead facilitator of this fellowship, who is also a seminar fellow at NYU's Global Spiritual Life, discussed her takeaways from the 8-week program.
I think the most valuable thing that I learned is that across all of the differences of backgrounds that our group represented, that there is so much similarity as well in points of connection and solidarity amongst different members of the Asian community at NYU. I think that was the most valuable thing that I learned.
Asian community is a large one. The backgrounds of students can vary a lot. The program provides a warm and supportive atmosphere, allowing students from different parts of the AAPI community to share their stories safely.
And I think the second thing would be just really how comforting and nice it was to be in a space of only other Asian students or individuals. Like, not necessarily knowing anything about each other, just showing up onto a screen and seeing all of our faces populating on the Zoom, and just, you know, having a bunch of smiling faces of being like, oh, we've all chosen to be here for this very specific reason. And this Asian interfaith healing space was something that we were all interested in. And that in and of itself was something that connected us from the very beginning.
It's hard for minority students to have such a comfortable place to share their thoughts and feelings freely. Before the program started, Adriana was not certain about whether the fellowship would be like this. This is what she was hoping for.
I didn't want it to feel like another, you know, like class or a lecture. I really wanted it to feel like a community, like a fellowship, you know, like what the title title indicated, really being in fellowship with one another, being in community, and it being a space that was co-created amongst all of us. So even though I was the, you know, facilitator per se, holding this larger space with the other SLAs that came in, for me, I very much wanted to feel like we were creating the space together.
In this fellowship, four NYU spiritual life advisors joined the conversation and suggested different spiritual practices that could be adopted in the healing process. Such a development of interfaith practices enriched students' religious literacy, enabling them to draw wisdom from different spiritual traditions. Meanwhile, healing and belonging is not the only chance students could get engaged in interfaith practices. A number of interfaith workshops are now sponsored by NYU's Global Spiritual Life for students in need.
Some that students at NYU are able to participate in are Mosaic. It's an interfaith coalition for people of color. It's a year-long fellowship. There's also something called Spiritual Wisdom Fellowship that will return this spring, in which different SLAs come and you dig a little bit deeper, similar to what we did in Healing and Belonging, but into certain texts from different traditions, which is really great. I participated in it last spring. I loved it. There's also all the faith zone trainings at Global Spiritual Life, religious literacy project, in which learning that different ways of learning that different faith traditions in order to, you know, build that religious literacy. And then also Faith Zone 2, which helps with building community organizing tools from an interfaith perspective. There's also Building Beloved Community, which is a workshop. And then there's three different student groups that do meditation from all different backgrounds. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to be a Buddhist practitioner in order to join one of the meditation groups. But there's Gen Med, which is a really it's a cohort that is meant to support students in developing their own meditation practice. Outbreath, which is specifically for LGBTQ plus students. And then Stay Woke and Meditate, which is for POC students at NYU. So many different opportunities to learn about interfaith practices and also increase your interfaith sense of literacy as well.
The Healing and Belonging Centering NYU's Asian Community Fellowship this year has created fellows a close and trustful community while enriching their spiritual life. Next summer, the same workshop will be held again. During the year, other workshops will also be open for anyone who has interest. To get more information, please check out the official website of NYU Global Spiritual Life. For the rundown on WNYU 89.1 FM, this has been Adriel Luo.
All right. Thank you, Adria. And that's going to do it for us here tonight. If you liked what you heard or want to hear something different, you can email us at news@wnyu.org. Coming up next is podcast Black Femme Kitchen. I hope you enjoyed the show today. I'm Aria Young, and this has been The Rundown on WNYU 89.1 FM.